today on Real Life Radio.
Because you and I, as we stand here today, we look back at the past and we understand what Jesus has said. It's very, very clear to us because we live on this part of the moment. And then we look ahead and we see, wow, now for the first time since 1948, Israel's a nation again. Jerusalem is called Jerusalem, not Capitolina, is what Rome called it under its occupation of Rome. How close are we? We're close.
This is Real Life. Welcome to Real Life Radio with Pastor Jack Hibbs. I'm David Jay, thanking you for joining us today as we listen, learn, and are challenged by God's Word, the Bible.
Hey everybody, really excited to let you guys in on a great book that is written by Jeff Kinley and Todd Hampson. And here's the title. Are you ready for it? It's a big one. The Prophecy Pros Illustrated Guide to Tough Questions About the End Times. It is a great book. This book will walk you through those tough things about Bible prophecy and how simple they can really be when you answer the Bible with Bible.
A copy of the Prophecy Pros Illustrated Guide to Tough Questions About the End Times will be sent to you when you donate to the Ministry of Real Life today. Get your copy at jackhibbs.com. That's jackhibbs.com. On today's edition of Real Life Radio, Pastor Jack now continues his series called The Gospel of Luke with a message titled, What You Should Know About the Real Jesus, Part 3. You know, this Gospel of Luke series is one that gives us both the humanity and the divinity of Jesus Christ, as really only Luke the physician could do. Here now, as we continue in chapter 21, we'll consider the days in which we live. You see, it's God's will that we know and understand the signs of the times. Bible prophecy is meant to be known, not to be kept a secret. God's Word is there for our inspiration and will never fail us. So today, on this part of the message, Pastor Jack goes on to say that we are close to seeing the Lord's return. As predicted in the Bible, there's a movement among the Jewish people that the Messiah has always been and will always be Jesus Christ. Now, with his message called What You Should Know About the Real Jesus, Part 3, here's pastor and Bible teacher Jack Hibbs.
So we can see what's coming by looking to the Word. He says this. He says, for there will be great distress in the land. Mark it, Bible students. It's not the earth. It's not Canada. It's the land. Anybody want to give a little shout about what the land will be? Jerusalem and the nation of Israel. Absolutely right. And wrath upon this people. Can you mark that? They will fall by the edge of the sword and be led away captive into all nations, period. See the period there? You guys, this is very technical. You gotta stay with me. That period is powerful. Why? Because the next verse, or I should say the continuance of the verse, has not yet happened. Right up to the middle of verse 24, everything is historical. In the middle of verse 24, the latter end, it has not yet happened in total fulfillment. Check this out. He says, and Jerusalem will be trampled by the Gentiles until the times of the Gentiles is fulfilled. Look to the screens. Watch this. They're going to operate it back there, so we'll try to do it the best we can. Church, we're standing right now on the Temple Mount in Jerusalem. You're there, and many of you have already been there. As we look around, this is a piece of property that has been kept clear for a very, very long time. As we scan about, and I'm grateful, I think Steve's the one who put this together here, put these photos together. This is the Temple Mount in Jerusalem, and as you go, you'll see the terrain changing. You'll see pretty soon in a moment the Mount of Olives. Here comes the Dome of the Rock Mosque. Note that, mark it well. That's where the temple once stood, Solomon's temple once stood. Isn't that cool? We can move that around. By the way, all around the Dome of the Rock Mosque says, God is not begotten, neither does God have a son. Let's keep going around. The Bible says Jerusalem will be trodden down under the foot of the Gentiles, the non-Jews, until the time of the end. Ladies and gentlemen, you are looking at a real-time, visible manifestation of the unbelievers, the Gentiles, trodden down Jerusalem to this very moment. This is proof positive. Church, I'm getting goosebumps. This is proof positive what Jesus said in your Bible. is right here on your screens in front of you. That Jerusalem is covered right now by a false worship system, isn't it? The Temple Mount does not have any representation of the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, does it? Jesus said, you're looking at the fulfillment of the Word of God, the Bible, at this moment. It is barren of any representation of God. Exactly as he said, Jerusalem will be trodden under the foot of the Gentiles until the fullness of the Gentiles is complete. This is absolutely awesome. While you look at that, go ahead and just vegetate on that. You guys can keep going in circles if you want as we look at that. Just meditate on that as I say this. With just 15 words in one sentence, Jesus reveals the truth that nobody can deny, that Jerusalem will be the epicenter of the past and of the future in one incredible sentence. 15 words. What are the times of the Gentiles? The non-Jewish occupation of the land of Israel? Mark your Bibles, it began in 586 BC with the invasion of then General Nebuchadnezzar. And he laid Jerusalem waste and he took Israel captive, or Jerusalem captive. And that commenced, that began the times of the Gentiles. It has continued for 2,600 years. And it will go out all the way till the second coming of Christ. You say, Jack, what are you getting all excited about? Because right now we're looking at history colliding in the moment. You've got Jerusalem under the control of the Gentile nations of the world. You've got pagan worship systems right there, right now. But since May 14th, 1948, you've got a clock ticking now. Israel is in the land, and for the first time in Israel's history, existing with the church existing in parallel. Israel is a sovereign state, no Roman Empire. You've got Israel existing. Now you've got the church existing in the same time zone. Don't tell me we're not close to getting out of here. It's amazing, because the Bible tells us that in the near future, the church will be gone and God will then once again deal with the nation of Israel very specifically. That is the 70th week of Daniel. It's incredible. Daniel chapter 9, verses 24 to 27. You can read it later. Absolutely awesome. Man, this is like taking a tour, but it's better. Because you and I, as we stand here today, we look back at the past and we understand what Jesus has said. It's very, very clear to us because we live on this part of the moment. And then we look ahead and we see, wow, now for the first time since 1948, Israel's a nation again. Jerusalem is called Jerusalem, not Capitolina, is what Rome called it under its occupation of Rome. How close are we? We're close. The Lord could come for the church at any moment. If we're starting to see the shadow that Dr. Warren Wiersbe talked about of the last day's events being cast, then how close is the trumpet blast for the church to get on out of here? I say close. It's amazing. I pray it's today. Jerusalem belongs to God, my friend, says the Bible. It belongs to God. Now listen to this. But where the Lord is not wanted, the Lord does not stay. America, wake up. Israel's an example. Jerusalem's an example. Wherever the Lord is not wanted, the Lord will not stay. And Jerusalem, Israel, and the Jew has suffered brutally to this very moment. Why? Why? Because they've rejected the prophets, they've rejected the scriptures, and they've rejected the Messiah. Pains me to say that, but it's true. However, that's going to change. That's going to change. Hey, you want to get freaked out? By the way, don't raise your hand right now. You probably get mugged if you do in this church, but if you don't like Jews, if you're anti-Semite, if you're here today, maybe you're against the Jews. You better listen to this. You want to change your mind really quick, because Jesus warns, you don't mess with my people. And check this out. No other race of people in the history of the world have been hated more than the Jew, mocked, rejected, tortured, abused, and enslaved as slaves than the Jewish people. And yet, Jesus said, listen, look, verse 24, and they will fall by the edge of the sword. Has that happened? Throughout history. And they will be led away captive. Has that happened? Where? Where are they gonna go? Look at your Bible. Where do they go? Into all nations. I encourage you today, this is a challenge. Are you ready? Wanna fight? Here we go. Find me a country where there are no Jews. If you believe that you are a Jew and you belong to God and you are of the promised chosen people and Jerusalem is your city and Israel is your country, then what in the world are you doing in Tonga? Then what are you doing in Tahiti? What are you doing in Iran? What are you doing hiding your faith but having been born in Saudi Arabia? What are you doing as a Jew in America? What are you doing as a Jew in Japan? Find me a country where there's no Jew. Here a Jew, there a Jew, everywhere a Jew. Why? How? Because God's word is true. He dispersed his people to the uttermost ends of the earth. He keeps his word. And by the way, the same God that drove them out because of their unbelief of their own prophets in the Old Testament, because they would not receive Christ as Messiah and brought upon themselves the Holocaust, it's the same God that says, I will bring my people back. I'm going to bring them back home into their land. I will uproot them. I will bring them from their nations and I will bring them into their own land. God says this. Isaiah chapter 43. Don't look at the screens. I'm remembering it right now. Isaiah 43 verses 1 through 11. God says, I will say to the west, have my people come. To the east, I will say, let them come to me. I will say to the south, bring them. And I will command the north, let my people go. Look it up. God's people. He's not done with them yet. Yes, they've lived a horrible, horrible history, self-imposed by rejecting God. But listen, America is on the brink of doing the same thing if we haven't already. We need to wake up. Serious. Mark this verse down. Am I excited? I'm yelling. I'm sorry. Hey, mark it down. Hosea chapter 5. Hosea 5:15, written 720 years before the birth of Jesus. This is 2,000, oh, imagine, almost 3,000 years old if you think about it. Hosea 5:15. Thus says the Lord, I will return again to my place. He's leaving. Till they, who? The Jewish people. Acknowledge their sin. Then they will seek my face. In their affliction, they will earnestly seek me. Hosea 6, verse 1. The people respond, come and let us return to the Lord. Oh man, I can't take this anymore. Hosea, you guys, from chapter 5, verse 15, there is a period and a quotation mark. It ends. To chapter 6, verse 1, it's the next statement. 2,000 years have elapsed between the closing verse of chapter 5 and to the opening verse of chapter 6. Don't tell me you shouldn't read your Bible slowly and carefully. Look at this. Come, let us return to the Lord, for he has torn, Holocaust, but he will heal us. He has stricken, Holocaust, but he will bind us up. After 2 days, he will revive us. And on the third day, he will raise us up that we may live in his sight. Verse 3, let us know, let us pursue the knowledge of the Lord. That's what Israel is going to say about the Messiah, the one found in Proverbs 30, verse 4, the very Son of God of Proverbs 30, verse 4. Jesus said this way, by the way, this is noted as the saddest verse in the Bible. John chapter 1, verses 10 and 11. He was in the world, and the world was created through him, and the world did not know him. He came to his own people, and his own people did not receive him. But as many as received him, verse 12, to them gave he the right to become children of God, to those who believe in his name. And all God's people said, that is awesome stuff. Man, I tell you, I can hear honks, alarms, bells, and whistles going off. It's amazing.
You're listening to Real Life with Pastor Jack Hibbs. You know, to hear more episodes and maybe catch up in the series, just go to jackhibbs.com. That's jackhibbs.com. And for now, let's get back to our teaching. Once again, here's Pastor Jack.
Jesus said, Jerusalem will be trampled by the Gentiles, the unbelievers, until the times of the end, until the times of the Gentiles are fulfilled. Meaning, there's going to come a time when God is done with the world, he will refocus on Israel, and at that same moment, by the way, the last Gentile will say yes to Jesus. The last Gentile is going to say, Lord, I accept you as my Savior, and that will be the last person. Can you imagine? It's going to continue until the time of the Gentiles is complete. Tick, tick. Can you imagine? How do you know right now if there's just five more Gentiles like us that need to accept the Messiah, and then we're out of here. Imagine, could you be number four? Could number one be in here? Come on, will you accept the Lord so we can get out of here? Hurry up. Romans chapter 11, listen to this. Romans 11, 25. Paul spoke to the believers in Rome, and some of them were Jewish, some of them were Italians, converted to Christ. And so he wrote this letter to the church at Rome. For I do not desire, brethren, that you should be ignorant of this very mystery, lest you should be wise in your own opinion, that blindness in part has happened to Israel until the fullness of the Gentiles is complete. Verse 26, and so all Israel will be saved. As it is written, the deliverer will come out of Zion, and he will turn away ungodliness from Jacob. That's another name for Israel. He had his name changed, remember? For this is my covenant with them. I will take away their sins. Amazing. Awesome. There's going to be an explosion, my friend, of Jews coming to know Jesus as Messiah, Yeshua, Savior. Among the Jewish people around the world, there's going to be an explosion of them coming to the Messiah. And then also, we close with this consideration. He expects you and I to be looking ahead this way, my friends, looking ahead to get a greater understanding. Look at the closing verses, verses 25 to 28. Wow. By the way, this is amazing. If you want to know more about this, if you're a note taker, jot this down. Verses 20 to 28. If you want to know this more in detail, read the book of Revelation, chapters 15 to 19. That is great detail of what we're talking about. Here it comes. Revelation chapter 15 to 19 speaks in detail of verses 25 to 28. And there will be signs in the sun, in the moon, and in the stars. And those are not good signs, by the way. It's not going to have like Batman logo up there. This is going to be stuff that will freak people out. Here's the fun part about what we're doing right now. You guys, remember how I told you that Jesus commenced with this broad brush overview picture, and he talked about the destruction of Jerusalem. Are you with me? That happened in the past, right? Right. Then there are things that are escalating upward and onward to the culmination of his second coming. Now, this is amazing because if somebody wants to say, there are those running around of the preterist, they're called preterist. If you don't know what they're called, you don't need to care. But they're saying all the prophecies have all been fulfilled. So they're all done. You don't need to get excited about nothing. Well, this is interesting. Those guys are so wrong. And here's one of the reasons why they're wrong. Is yes, it began with the destruction of the temple. But look at verse 25. There will be signs in the sun and in the moon and in the stars and on the earth, distress of nations with no way out. The sea and the waves roaring. Listen, that's never happened. There is no record in history where the world was freaking out over bizarre, horrific terrors in the atmosphere. Now, see, Jesus fast forwards to the time of the end, which, by the way, is answered in Revelation chapters 15 to 19. It's awesome. It's coming. We have a better understanding if we just slow down and read the Bible. You guys, don't read books on the Bible. Read the Bible. And so, it says that their hearts, verse 26, will fail them for fear. Why? Because they have expectations. They're worried about those things that are coming upon the earth. Aren't you glad, you guys? We're going to miss the tribulation period. Things might get real bloody for us and real ugly for us. People might try to kill us. People may kill us. That happens in Christianity. I mean, that's part of the deal. But the tribulation period, we'll be looking down from up there. You're not going to see this. In fact, theologically, you can't be here. It's against the rules. And so this allows us a great understanding. I made mention of this a couple weeks ago, and it kind of upset some people. And I was tempted to not mention it again because now we come to it again. And so let me say this. Do you understand? Look at verse 25. There's going to be something in the atmosphere freaking out the world, and somehow the sun's going to be the backdrop, or the sun is going to wig out. Now, the book of Revelation tells us that power will be given to the sun, and it will scorch the earth with heat, and a great amount of human beings are going to be burned to death during the tribulation period because of the sun. Now, hear me out. And it says the moon's going to wig out. I don't know what that means, except that if the moon wigs out, we've got flooding like you can't imagine. And not only flooding, did you know that you'll have flooding going on in your own body? Did you know that you walk and live and move and breathe and exist because God has set a little balance ball out there that keeps you and I somewhat normal called the moon? Did you know the moon and its gravitational pull oscillates every 30 days and it literally affects your moods because it has tension on your body? What if the moon wigs out? So, man, don't say that. I'm wigging out enough. The moon's going to wig out. And the stars are going to get goofy. What does that mean? I don't know. I just know we navigate by the stars. What was once sure, they're going to be wiggling around. That'd freak you out. So check this out. This is creation gone haywire, huh? Now, this is the way I think, very twisted thinking. Is there not a massive push, a global push, to save this world? Will man save this world? The Bible says no. Is it nice to try? Okay, we should pick up our trash. I understand that. We should recycle. It's nice. Fine. But listen, we're not going to save the world. Check this out. Are we not running around trying to save all the animals from dying? Yes, and that's a good thing. I love animals. But are we going to be able to save the animals? Maybe in some little degree for a little bit of time, maybe, I don't know. Do you understand right now there's a global push, and by the way, you are spending billions of your dollars, which you have so much to give away, on preserving the planet globally, that here's the deal. We're doing all this right now to take care of it, and as a world, not you, but as a world, are we not worshiping this planet? Are we not trying to burp it and change its diaper and take care of it? We call it, not you and I, but we, the human race, calls it our mother, and yet we're trying to save our mommy. That, according to the New Age world view, is it gave birth to us. And they teach that the world is freaking out and it's panicking and she's moaning right now, that she's lamenting. I'm not joking. And we need to save her. Noble cause, wrong motive. Should we as Christians be the best environmentalists on the planet? Absolutely. But do we know, because we've got a very clear, better understanding so that we might know what to do, picture of what's coming. I assure you, if you walked into a tree-hugging convention and read Revelation chapters 15 to 19 and Luke chapter 21, you would get killed. Because you would say, Jesus said, it's all going to come apart. And people will go nuts. Even though Jesus is the Prince of Peace, they won't listen to that part and they'll want to kill you. Why? Because you've touched something that you don't touch. Don't touch it. Why? I'll tell you why. The Bible says that this world has been subjected to sin. Check this out. Romans 8, verse 20 says, against its will. Romans 8, 20. It says, against its will, creation became subject to God's curse. That's the curse of sin. And now all creation anticipates the day when it will join God's redeemed children in glorious freedom from death and decay. In other words, when the Christian gets redeemed and when the end comes, that's when the environment gets fixed. When Jesus comes back, he's going to be saving the world, not us. For we know that nature has been groaning as in the pains of childbirth right up to this present moment. And even we, although we have the Holy Spirit within us as a promise for our future glory, we also groan to be released from pain and suffering that this creation is subject to. Is that not a perfect picture of where you and I live? Verse 27, then they, not you, they will see the Son of Man coming in a cloud with power and great glory.
Pastor and Bible teacher, Jack Hibbs, here on Real Life Radio with his message called What You Should Know About the Real Jesus, Part 3. You know, this message is part of Pastor Jack's series called The Gospel of Luke, a series on the book of Luke and the unveiling of Jesus Christ to this world. And we'll continue on the next edition of Real Life Radio. What is the ultimate point and purpose of Bible prophecy? Is it to scare us or prepare us? There's a special book by the prophecy pros, Jeff Kinley and Tom Hampston, that breaks it all down and makes it real simple, answering questions like, why are there different interpretations of prophetic Bible scriptures? How do we know which is correct? When it comes to symbolic prophecies, how do we decide to interpret them literally or metaphorically? The Prophecy Pros Illustrated Guide to Tough Questions About the End Times simplifies difficult and confusing aspects of last days prophecy using easy-to-understand language, diagrams, images, and statistics. If you've ever been unsure about the purpose, the context, or timeline of end times prophecy, let the Prophecy Pros put your mind at ease with this practical and informative guide. A copy of the Prophecy Pros Illustrated Guide to Tough Questions About the End Times will be sent to you when you donate to the Ministry of Real Life today. Get your copy at jackhibbs.com. That's jackhibbs.com. This program is made possible by the generous contributions of you, our listeners. Visit us at jackhibbs.com. That's jackhibbs.com. Until next time, Pastor Jack Hibbs and all of us here at Real Life Radio wish for you solid and steady growth in Christ and in His Word. We'll see you next time here on Real Life Radio.